In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No matter how you look at it, the parable just read is very difficult to understand. As I read it in preparation for this message, one side of me said that Jesus had to have a glint of humor in his eyes as he told about the man who tried to cheat his master and protect himself. The other side of me tried to identify with the frustration Jesus must have also felt as he taught this lesson to his disciples. Can't you almost feel the disappointment in Jesus' voice when he tells them the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they, his own disciples, were? Now, you can almost compare this parable, or all of Jesus' parables for that matter, to some of the psychological tests that people take today, either for evaluation or to gain entrance into places like this seminary. What you see in those tests tells you a lot about who you are and what's going on around you. And so it is with Jesus' parable. That parable is about us and what is going on around us. Yes, that parable is about life, just as all of Jesus' parables were. And life cannot be lived in boxes, just as it is impossible to find simplistic either-or answers to life. Life can be messy. Yes, life can be messy, and we often find ourselves right in the middle of those messes, do we not? One thing I learned early in ministry and working with people is that quite often you find yourselves dealing not so much with what is right and wrong as with the lesser of two evils. And while Jesus, in the parable of the dishonest manager, may seem to be giving a knowing nod of approval to the moral laxity of our world, that's not how he deals with it. He does not give it an endorsement. So what does the parable say? You have to be smart to survive in our world today. That's true in the church, too. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all need to get a master's in business administration degree alongside of the master of divinity or religion. What I am suggesting is that we learn to act as shrewdly in matters of the kingdom as the manager in Jesus' parable did to take care of himself. Just look at him. Realizing that he didn't have the stomach to beg or the physical strength to do the work of a laborer, he decides that his only hope for survival is to buy friends at the expense of his master. So he goes and he makes a deal with each one of those owing his master money so that they will be there for him when he gets fired from his job. What a lot of nerve, you say? And yet the master praises him. What's this world coming to? Is that how you feel about what Jesus is saying here? Now, whenever we feel that way in hearing one of Jesus' parables, he has us exactly where he wants us. He knows that it is then that we will take a look at how we might act in similar circumstances. By the way, Jesus is not praising the manager's dishonesty. He's commending the man because he understands a rip-roaring crisis when he sees one. One thing is clear. The manager spends no time in whining and moaning, "Woe is me," as we in the church often do when we encounter crises. No, he knows he must live in a world where bad things happen in spite of people's best intentions. He also knows he's not strong enough to dig. Many churches are not strong enough to dig either. In other words, to dig into their past to see what has led them to be what they are. That could go for any institution in the church, too. So what does the manager do? He comes up with a startling conclusion. I need help. The manager is really the smart one. He saw that life for him was too messy and too complex to deal with on his own. And yet the manager was headed for a major moral pileup over the way he used his master's resources to get the help he needed. If he wasn't going to get fired at first, he for sure was now. I hope you're not smiling as you think it's time that crook got his due. If so, you've missed the point of Jesus' parable. While there is always a little bit of humor in watching someone try to get by with something he or she ought not to be doing, the danger is that we fail to see the times that we do the same. So, that we recognize that we live in a morally complex world has to be one of the lessons we learn from Jesus' parable. That we also recognize that life is too messy for simplistic answers has to be another lesson we can learn here. I would also submit that rather than conceding a worldview that answers evil with another kind of evil, Jesus is challenging us to see the complexity of our world as an opportunity. Yes, an opportunity to find many different ways to bring to bear on our world the justice and the love and the peace and the mercy of our God. We have a God who loves us in spite of ourselves, a God who, through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus, is the only one who can bring us out of our messes, the messes we in our selfishness create. And to our surprise, even in the actions of the dishonest, God can speak to us about the wonders of his grace and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.